Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your Etsy shopping, Pinterest recipe surfing, going to the movies to see Last Christmas friend.
And I'm Bethany, your eye twitching, black wearing, once again sleep deprived friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
how and when to tell your best friend that you are in love with them.
Oh, snap. I had no idea that you were doing this topic.
This is my topic. It is inspired by something a friend of mine is going through. And I have done this a couple times
where
confessed feelings for a friend.
Yeah, you did it just last year. Like right before you met Dennis.
I did. So I think that it's worth talking about because there is a really good way to tell if you should say anything or not.
Mm.
So we're going to talk about that. What about you, Kathleen?
I am talking about a story that has been highly covered in the news lately. It's a story about two people, a mom and a dad, who adopted a daughter with a rare form of dwarfism.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that she was 6 or 7 at the time that they adopted her, and now they are claiming she is an adult.
It's amazing.
She is creepy. I don't know. Some of the things that there's... I have no idea whose side I'm on.
Uh-huh.
I've spent hours and hours researching this, and it's essentially... Mom and dad are saying this kid that they adopted is an adult. The kid is like, I'm still a kid.
And so she was just on Dr. Phil.
And it's going to be a major trial in America in January of 2020. So
jeez.
I'm going through all of the insane, absolutely insane details about this adoption process and the trial that is going to happen.
That is bonkers.
Uh-huh.
Did you see, you saw Last Christmas?
No, so I'm going to see it. I'm going to go see it tomorrow.
It didn't do, it came in like number 4 or 5.
I don't care. It's still going to be number 1 in my heart.
It's Emilia Clarke.
Yeah, well, and Henry Golding,
yeah.
One of the rich Asians from Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes. And they're both gorgeous people.
Oh, my God. So gorgeous. Yeah. I'm going to go see it with my mom.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just give you a heads up, Kathleen. Don't be alarmed. But my left eye is consistently twitching. And it's been twitching all day. I don't know what to do about it. I tried putting more makeup on it. That didn't work.
So I know what's wrong with you.
What's wrong with me?
You're dehydrated. Look it up. If you use the Googs, eye twitching is a sign of dehydration. So is lip twitching. This happens to me all the time.
Really?
Yes.
Why is my eye
especially
twitching?
When I'm flying on an airplane.
Oh, mm-hmm. The most common cause of eyelid twitching are stress, fatigue, and caffeine. Welp.
There you go. It's finally chilly here in New York City. It's 35 degrees today.
I mean, it went from yesterday sweaty to today cold.
I know. I took a walk last night at like 10 o'clock with no jacket.
Yeah. And a glass of wine.
And I took a to-go cup. Okay, so they say that you need a little bit of red wine every day for your heart, right? Mm-hmm. Good antioxidants,
yeah.
Keeps you from getting cancer, all that good stuff. So I took a little to-go cup, and I did a couple loops around the block because I wanted to get my 10,000 steps in.
Yeah, that's good.
Because, you know, I'm facing off with all of these other taste buds, and they probably think I'm a lazy a-hole because last week I got a total of like 1,000 steps.
How many?
For 7 days.
how many taste buds are you in competition with?
I'm like in 5 or 6 different competitions, and there's some of the same taste buds are in the competitions, but
okay.
Yeah.
I did that once with my mom and my sister, and I think my stepdad. We were all Fitbitting against each other.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. Like, I broke down crying because I was just like, it made me feel suddenly so insecure.
Yes.
And I felt attacked. And like, there was so much pressure to exercise, and it was like not good for me. And I had to like have them all forget my device.
Yes.
And, like, bow out of it.
I have family members who won't sync with me on Fitbit because they don't get nearly as many as the steps that I get.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, but I'm 33 and you're 70.
Yeah, but
so
then I understand.
I'm not holding it against you if you're not getting as many steps as I am. But
it's still like, it can be tough. If you're like a really competitive person, I think it's good, but I'm not a competitive person, mm-hmm. So I just feel attacked.
I was running up the subway stairs today in New York, and I took a tumble.
No! Oh no. Did you fall up?
I fell down. And this sweet old man, Bethany, I love this city so much. He looked over at me and he said, "You okay, honey?" And I was like, "Yes, thank you." Yeah, I like, you know when you're trying to go too fast?
Yeah.
Because I was running late to this podcast, per usual.
Per usual. I once did that. I was in when I was working at the bank in Minneapolis, and I worked downtown Minneapolis, and I was trying to catch the bus on the way home.
Uh-huh.
And I was wearing these gorgeous palazzo pants. They were like flowy, beautiful black and white, large floral print palazzo pants.
Ugh.
And I was running, and one of my feet caught in the hem of the opposite pant leg, and it tripped me up, and I went flying. The way it felt is that I was fully in the air.
Oh my God.
Fully horizontal like Superman, and then landed goosh on the sidewalk.
Oh.
And I was so mortified
yep.
that I just lay there.
Yep.
I didn't get up.
You act like you're paralyzed.
I just lay there.
You're like, I can't move. What do I do? Act like you're dead.
And I think I was down for like 5 seconds before I finally like sort of got up. And there's no way to look cool.
No.
It's the ultimate just Jesus take the wheel.
Yes.
I have failed in this moment.
Yes.
You get up, you look like an idiot. You feel like an idiot. You just move on with your life.
You know, I spent two Fridays ago, I spent my evening in the urgent care. Because, I was in my back closet where up on these like high shelves, I have all of our winter and our fall clothes and whatever.
Yeah.
So I was switching out the summer and the fall clothes. So I was taking down these heavy containers and I was coming down my footstool and I missed one of the steps and bam, I fell off the footstool carrying this heavy container and my face, my forehead and my nose just smacked into the top of this big container full of winter clothes.
Kevin,
and
you didn't tell me this.
I know. And so I went to urgent care because I thought my nose was broken. But first I called everybody that I knew and sent them selfies.
Got to.
Like, all my friends and my mom, my husband, I was like, do you think it's broken? Then I start sending them like side by side photos of like me from before and me after. So eventually I took myself down to urgent care and luckily it wasn't broken.
Oh,
I was kind of disappointed.
I know, it's free rhinoplasty.
I was like, God damn it.
I know.
I kind of really wanted it to be broken. So because my nose is like kind of slightly like an evil toucan, like the evil witch in a Disney.
It is not. Stop that.
Disney movie. And I wanted a nose job. And I know I sound extremely shallow for saying that.
I mean, look, if you're going to break your nose, you might as well, like, take advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to do it on purpose.
No, of course not.
But you might as well just, like, you know.
I know. Just a subtle difference.
Yeah, just like a little zhuzh. A zhuzh here and there.
So Disney Plus is out. Are you going to sign up?
Nope.
No, me neither.
No, $6.99 a month.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and it's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't actively watch Disney enough that it would ever be justified. If you have kids, maybe, but like, are you a Disney person? You've never even been to the, you've not been.
I'm not a Disney person. And I think my husband said he might want to sign up because they've got some Marvel shows coming out on the Disney Plus. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what is Apple TV. Because everyone's talking about that show with Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, called, Steve Carell.
Steve Carell called The Morning Show.
So Apple TV is different than Apple, what is it, Plus?
Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV is like the...
Is it a box?
Is this a box?
That you plug into
like
your TV.
It's like a Roku.
Oh.
Roku. But then Apple TV Plus is like the streaming service, I guess.
Oh. All I know is that on my Fire Stick, I tried to download the Apple TV Plus app, and it's not available on Fire Stick.
It's probably a little bit like Microsoft versus Apple.
Oh, what the holy hell?
Yeah.
I do want to see that show, and I think you get the first year of Apple TV Plus for free. I think. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I have streaming fatigue. I don't really know what I need or want. And I feel like if it's a show that I cannot readily figure out how to get without having to sign up for a whole new subscription service, I'm just not going to watch it because there's so many other shows out there that I also don't have time to watch.
Yeah.
So
Like the Dublin Murders. It's supposed to be very good on Stars.
I want to see it. You're the only one I know who has a Stars login.
You can have my Stars login.
Thank you.
You can. Don't tell my husband. He gets so mad. I give out our login to everybody I know.
Well, Session 9 is a really, really good horror film. I think it's called Session 9 on Stars.
Oh, okay.
So I signed up for a free week.
Yes.
And then canceled because I just wanted to watch Session 9.
See, you're good because I always sign up for those free weeks of basically everything.
Yeah.
And then before I know it, I'm paying for a full year of LinkedIn Premium or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, what is this $30 charge every month for the past 12 months that I didn't realize I had?
I signed up for Stitcher Premium because I wanted to hear the backlog of How Did This Get Made? But I need to cancel my Stitcher Premium because it doesn't go all the way back. Like,
oh.
They only go to, like, episode 100.
That's bullocks.
It's, anyway, so cancel your things, people. Yeah. Should we get into it?
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
So I took my cat to the vet the other day, and the vet that came in.
Yeah.
She was so cool. I was like, I like your figs.
She was wearing figs?
She was wearing figs scrubs. And she looked amazing. She looked like the coolest vet I'd ever seen.
Figs is an amazing company. They're making scrubs stylish and functional for the people who deserve it most. People like doctors, nurses, dentists, people who work in medicine, vets, anyone else who wears scrubs, and also you and me.
Yeah, Bethany and I wear our figs all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They look like stylish pants. They're like my comfy pants, my figs joggers with my denim jacket. Hella cute.
Now, for years, people in the medical industry had to wear scratchy scrubs that didn't fit them very well. They weren't designed with innovative technical properties to protect and hold life-saving tools, but Figs does that. They are super high quality. Medical professionals look their best. They perform their best. And Figs scrubs are infused with antimicrobial properties to control odors. They're soft. They're stretchy. They're great.
Be the cool vet like my vet. Wear your Figs.
Wear your Figs.
Wear your Figs to be cool.
So whether you're one of the awesome humans that works in healthcare, or you're someone who wants to say thanks to those deserving folks, or you're just like us and you like comfy clothes, Figs is going to make that easy by providing you with 15% off your first purchase by using our code TASTE.
Get ready to love your scrubs. Head to wearfigs.com and enter our code TASTE at checkout.
That's WEARFIGS.com and enter our code TASTE at checkout to get 15% off your first purchase. So I don't know how many of us have been in that situation where you have a best friend and you find yourself having big feelings for them.
Mm-hmm.
Has this ever happened to you, Kathleen?
Someone has said this to me once, yeah.
And how did that feel for you?
You know, I was probably 18.
Okay.
And I kind of already knew.
Okay.
But I love this person so dearly that I was being very selfish and I didn't want to cut this person out of my life just because I knew that they felt one way about me and I didn't reciprocate those feelings. And we're still friends to this day.
Okay. So they got over it.
They got over it.
Okay.
And I don't really remember how I handled it. God, it was so long ago.
Yeah.
But it was done over email.
Okay.
And not in person.
How would you have preferred it be done? Did you like the email or would you have preferred person?
I think I probably would have preferred email.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So I've done this a couple times.
Yeah.
You've professed
your love.
Couple times.
Best friends, yeah.
Yeah, couple times. One was in college, and it turns out I wasn't actually in love. I was just obsessed with him, and he was a fuckboy who understood what he was doing and definitely was playing me.
Yeah.
So I don't hold myself at fault for that one.
And there most certainly is a difference between obsession and love.
Totally, totally. But I was 18. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know. And then the other one was, it was just last year. And it was a friend of mine who we had been like really, really good friends for a really long time. And I texted it to him because he kept inviting me to hang out with him and his, date. And I was like, I can't.
Oh.
So I finally just said, you know what? I can't. Turns out I have some feelings for you, but I'm working on it. I'll get over it. LOL.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay. Because I knew that there was just, it wasn't going to happen. So I just sort of made it a light thing.
That's a sweet way to put it. Like, I need to distance myself from you for a little bit, not forever.
Yeah.
I just need to get over you.
Yeah. And I made it very light. He was fine and we were fine. But it made me think about this. And there's luckily a bunch of articles online about what to do if you find yourself in that position because it's really tough.
It's a tough position.
You don't know if you should say something and potentially have a relationship or not say something and potentially lose the chance. But then if you do say something, you might ruin a friendship.
Yeah.
My sources for this were Elite Daily, WikiHow, The Guardian.
Ooh, some of my favorite publications.
I know you love. And they're all linked in the show notes.
Okay, great.
So here are the only two times you should tell your best friend that you're in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is by Nicole Crowley on Elite Daily. So she did a little Goog. She said that after a cursory Google search, the consensus online is not to tell the person that you're in love with them. It's best to move on in your own time without causing temporary or permanent trauma to the friendship. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to figure out what hurts more, losing your best friend or missing out on a potential relationship. How important is the friendship to you?
Yeah.
The first thing to check before you say anything, is it actually love? Take a long time, like months, to think about this. Mm-hmm. Do you actually see yourself spending the rest of your life with this person? Will the awesome conversation and the potentially awesome sex, will that dry up after you have fights about money, fights mm-hmm. about chores, fights about kids?
And then you're out a friend.
Also, why do you want to tell them? Do you want to tell them because you truly feel that you two are supposed to be together forever?
Yeah.
Or do you kind of need a little attention right now?
Mm.
And it's a bit of an ego snack.
Uh-huh.
And it would just feel nice and dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, because deep down, Eve, you might already know that this person's going to turn you down, but it certainly puts the spotlight on you for a little bit.
Yep. And if they turn you down, you get to be a victim a little bit.
Yes,
and being a victim
right.
is really fun sometimes.
You get to wallow.
Yep. And they feel sorry.
You get to eat some ice cream.
Yep.
Your friends get to come over and say, oh, it's going to be okay.
Yep.
I know people in my life who are professional victims.
Yep. I have some of those in mind too.
They always find a way.
Yep. If deep down you don't believe that they feel the same way.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in a serious relationship. Maybe they've never made an advance. Maybe they talk about their relationship when you're around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've tried flirting and they don't respond, or they sort of pull away. If all of those signs are there, mm-hmm. don't say anything.
Yeah.
It's going to bring unnecessary pain to your friendship.
Or they tell you about other people that they like.
Yep. That's a sign that they don't see you in that way.
You know, in our last podcast, there was a girl who wrote in about sort of like the same thing when we did our rapid fire bonus just last episode. And she's like, you know, there's this guy, we're childhood friends, I'm newly divorced, blah, blah, blah. My feelings on that apply here too. If this other person isn't like making it very clear that they like you, mm-hmm. they probably don't like you.
Yeah. We've all been so trained by films that if you're best friends with someone, that means that at some point a switch is going to be flipped and you both will see each other in new light. Like,
and they're keeping their feelings about you a secret. And 99% of the time, that is not true.
That's not true. How many people do you know who are so good at pretending that they're not interested in someone? Like, most people aren't that savvy.
Yeah. And most people aren't so good looking that they've got like so many other options that they're just waiting until the right moment to tell you that you're the one.
So here's the bottom line that I think is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that the love you feel for them is genuine,
mm-hmm.
and you also know that the friendship is ultimately going to be unsuccessful anyway because of how strong your feelings are.
Yeah.
Then it's time to tell them.
Ah.
Right?
Caveat.
So, like, if you can't hang out with them anymore because it's too painful because all of these feelings you have are so strong, then you should tell them.
That's kind of like what happened to you.
Yes. Because, like, you're not getting anything out of the friendship because you literally can't hang out with them because it breaks your heart. Right? So, you're not getting a friendship anyway at that point. So, let's say that you're not going to say something.
Yeah. You're just going to bury it,
deal with it,
and move on.
Wikihow.com, how to fall out of love with your best friend.
Ooh, I love this.
Number one.
Yeah.
Take space for yourself. Be super civil.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drop your friend.
Mm-mm.
If you have to see them, be open, but don't give them all of your attention. Just protect yourself. Put the energetic bell jar down around you.
Yeah.
And if you have to, make some excuses for why you can't see them for a little while.
You know, it's like when you have a crush in middle school or like a high school or something, and you're so obsessed with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't really get past the fact that they don't like you back mm-hmm. until you meet somebody new.
Totally. Yes.
So that's what that distance does when you're in love with your best friend.
Yep. Totally. Except that these feelings you're having are real. Don't try to push them down. Feel them so they can work their way through. And then get over the heartbreak. So don't forget about them completely. Keep hanging out. Acknowledge their existence. Take care of yourself. Return to your friendships. All of the stuff we know on how mm-hmm. to get over a heartbreak. And one that I really loved is remind yourself that your feelings are not fact.
Mm.
So you're going to be feeling a lot of stuff, anxiety, anger, sorrow.
I love that. Feelings are not fact.
Feelings exist, but they are not absolute fact. So this was coined by a Tibetan Buddhist, Sokni mm-hmm. Rinpoche. That's incorrect. Mm-hmm. The phrase real but not true is important to keep in mind when processing these emotions. You can validate that you are feeling a certain way without giving absolute power to the emotion. So feelings are not absolute fact.
Like if you're tired tonight, that doesn't mean you're going to be tired in the morning.
Correct.
So feelings, not facts.
Yes, correct. And just because you feel rejected and heartbroken does not mean that you are a rejectable person, and it does not mean that your heart is fully broken or that you will never love again. This is how you feel right now.
If you and Dennis broke up, do you think you could just like hang out and be friends with him?
No.
No, I 100% could not do that with my husband.
I don't know how people can do it. I wish them the best, and I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
But
I think sometimes it's different when there's children involved because you have to remain civil.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, gentle listener, if you're in this situation, please, by all means, open my eyes to what it's like to be friends with an ex.
Yeah.
I'm talking you're in an adult relationship with this person, mm-hmm. a long-term adult relationship with this person where like maybe you shared a house or you shared bills or stuff like that. How do you go from that to breaking up to then just like, oh, casually hanging out and catching a movie?
And how much time does that take? Because I don't trust it if you stayed friends right after the breakup.
Yeah.
Because that's, you need time apart to process. But like if you were in a normal relationship, you took time to process and you are now normal friends, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And what's that like?
What's that like?
I'm very curious.
You know, I really like the idea of valuing the friendship connection that you have with this person more so than like a fleeting romantic moment and burying the love feelings, but then coming to terms with the fact that you have a beautiful connected friendship with somebody.
Yep.
Like a lifelong friendship.
Yep. And no one can take your feelings away from you. Uh-huh. They're yours.
Yeah.
So even if they're not reciprocated, that doesn't mean they're not yours and they're beautiful and wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you've sat with your feelings, you figured out your motivations, you decided you are going to tell your friend you're in love with them. Okay. Number one, don't do it while you're high or drunk.
No.
Because you can't control emotions and they might not take you seriously. And now you've done it and they're like, oh, I'm sure she was just drunk.
Or what if they're drunk and you're sober?
Don't do it then either. Just wait.
No, Bethany, then they'll absolutely tell you the truth about how they feel.
Okay.
That's how I would do it if I were going to do it.
Oh, God, no. This is what I would do if I was going to do it again. Okay. So have a friend play the go-between. This is an option.
Mm.
So let's say that, Kathleen, let's say that I'm in love with you.
Okay.
Okay? I don't know how to tell you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to have our friend, Dennis,
yeah.
hang out with you, go to lunch with you, bring you up.
Yes.
Say like, oh, Kathleen, you and Bethany, you guys are so similar. You guys would be really good together, and see what your reaction was.
Yes.
And if you went, then he can come back and be like,
never about you. Never, never about you. You know, I have a large friend group, and there are guys and girls in the friend group, and there is a guy who likes one of the girls. And this is how he played his cards. He had like somebody else be the go-between and be like, hey, would you like ever think about so and so this way?
Yeah.
And ultimately, she's like, no, like, he's a great friend, but I don't feel that way about him. I have, like, since tried to push this person. This person likes you so much. It'd be so amazing for the friend group. It'd be so amazing for the friend group if you guys, like, got together. And she, like, she's good about it.
Yeah.
She holds her ground. But, yeah, so there was a go-between. And,
yeah,
both parties can now remain good friends.
I think that's, like, the number one way to do it.
Yeah. I really wish she liked him. It would be so easy for my social schedule.
You know, well, what the movies teach us is if you just keep trying.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen this one. It's an old one from the late 80s when Harry met Sally.
Yeah.
And how they're friends, but they're like both single and like they're not interested in each other. They're not interested in each other, blah, blah, blah. Until one day Meg Ryan is like, oh, I'm interested in him. And he like is like, no, I'm a player, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm a monogamist. And at the last second, she's at a New Year's Eve party by herself, and he runs in, and he is like, I'm so sorry, I was a jerk. I know we had sex, and then I said it was a mistake, but, like, it was you. It was always you. It was always going to be you. And that doesn't happen in real life.
No, it never. Those movies, I think, are dangerous.
They're really fun to watch.
They should be viewed through the same lens as watching like Lord of the Rings or John Wick. None of this is real. None of this will happen.
Yes.
None of this is real.
Yeah, because I think especially women, we have the tendency to fall into the trap where we're waiting for grand romantic gestures from people we're attracted to or people that we like. And it just never happens because that only happens in the movies.
And guys are taught, if I make these grand romantic gestures, even if she's never shown any signs, or worse, even if we hate each other, she'll immediately realize how amazing I am because I made a grand romantic gesture. So then when she doesn't, he's like, I'll just make a bigger romantic gesture. I'll just find her at her house and show up. And like, no, it doesn't happen.
Years ago, I had a friend who was sort of going through a life dilemma, and she was waiting for a sign. The decision she was going to make, she needed a sign from the universe. And this person's therapist was like, hey, the big grand gesture, the sign from the universe is not coming.
Right.
Sometimes in life, you just need to figure it out and move on.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for something that's never going to come.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Sometimes life is just boring, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you decide to do it head on, you're going to tell your friend head on. Number one, do it in a place that is quiet. Do it. They say do it in person. I don't know. I think maybe an email is okay. Give them time to think.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do it in person, do it at a time when they will be able to go away and think about it. So maybe like do it on a Friday so they have the weekend.
Yeah.
Don't do it during a commercial break in a show you're both watching.
Like, yeah. And you're both still sitting there.
Yeah. Don't do it like in a loud restaurant. Go on a walk.
Yeah. Because then you have to finish eating dinner.
Yeah.
Staring at this person that's just made you feel very awkward.
Exactly. And start up a normal conversation before you talk about your feelings. So like talk about, you know, stuff you're doing, kickball, you know, work, things that are great. And then be open and honest about your feelings. So say something like, look, I just want you to know it's not easy for me to tell you this, but like, I've had a crush on you for a while. I would like to go to Bone Town Population Us. and then emphasize how important your friendship is.
Yeah.
Let them know they don't have to say anything right away.
Yeah.
Give them time to process. And the most important, accept their reaction no matter what it is. If they're not interested, don't push them.
Yeah.
They might be confused. Be respectful of their feelings.
Don't try to change their mind.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Don't try to convince them. Like, this is their problem. They might be blindsided or it's going to be real awkward.
Yeah. I would practice what I was going to say going into this.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Or, like, I think it would even be very sweet. The other person might appreciate it if you took out a little note card and read what you had written down. Because then you were showing true sincerity.
Yeah.
That you were very nervous about what their reaction was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely. Avoid treating them any differently if they reject you. So if they're like, you know what, it's a no for me, dog, then give yourselves a little time, but then be kind, be friendly, send them love energetically. Like, don't ghost them. Don't be awkward around them. Treat them like your friend because hopefully that's the relationship that you want to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing too, one more way that you could do it is simply approach them and say, hey, I really like when we spend time together. Would you like to go on a real date? That's another really simple way to put it.
Ask him on a date.
Ask him on a date.
This is not a hangout. I'm not asking you on a hangout. I'm asking you on a date.
And if they sidestep it and they're like, oh, come on, punch in the arm. We always get to go on dates. We always hang out. Then you know.
There's nothing more annoying than someone asking you to hang out and you're like, is this a date? Is this not a date? Is it a date? Are we just hanging out? What is this?
Total ambiguity.
Yeah.
And that's actually what got me into trouble in college, where I thought that this guy was interested because he like asked me out to a movie our first time that we met each other. And then it turned out like he had a girlfriend the whole time. And I thought that he was romantically interested, but he was just flirty.
Nah, he might have been romantically interested. He was keeping you keeping you warm.
Back burner girl.
On the back burner.
Yeah.
Not on the favorite burner.
Nope.
Front left.
Not front left. So those are the tips and I hope those are helpful. I sort of went into it with the idea that like it's not going to work out because let's be honest, if those feelings were mutual, it probably would happen.
It probably would happen more organically.
Yeah. But sometimes you just have to do it for you.
Has anybody ever said this to you? Bethany, I know we're good friends, so I'm in love with you.
No, I had one friend where I knew they had feelings, but they never said anything, and we sort of moved on.
Yeah,
they did the flirting thing where a couple times they tried to tease me, like touching, teasing. I shut that down real fast, but they got over it, and you know it was fine. But no one's ever said any. I had a girl in college write a song for me once, but I don't think that was love.
That's
I think
sweet.
She just was like.
She was
just confused.
Yeah. Do you know where she is today?
No, I've tried to find her.
Yeah.
And I have not been able to because she has a very interesting last name, which tends to pull up porn.
Huh.
It's tough.
Is it Sucker?
It's Sucks a Dick.
Sucks a Dick, yeah.
Which is tough. Mm-hmm. So if you look up, you know, Amanda Sucks a Dick, it's like not, it's not the person.
That's tough, man. When you're trying to apply to jobs. That sucks. sucks.
So if you have any tips and tricks, or if you've done this and you have stories, we would love to hear. Oh, I just found her.
Ivana Seaman.
That's that about that.
Bethany, I would like to do a little role playing.
Okay.
I'm going to call you Harry.
Okay.
I'm going to call me Sally.
I have not seen this movie. I'm not going to do it right.
Come on.
Can I just do what feels right? Or do I have to follow a script? I've never seen it.
So I walked into Warby Parker the other day because I needed to get a pair of glasses.
Lucky you.
Fixed, like, you know, okay. The screws were a little bit.
Loose?
Yeah, a little loose.
Would you say your screws were loose, Kathleen?
Like my morals. and the girl helping me out had the most beautiful pair of Warby Parkers on. And I was like, what glasses are those? Fun fact, if you walk into any Warby Parker and you see a pair of sunglasses that you love and you wish that they were actually just regular glasses, they can pop out the lenses for you and you can make them into regular glasses.
Really?
Yes.
Look. Warby Parker was founded because they wanted boutique quality eyewear at a revolutionary price point. Kathleen and I both have multiple pairs. When we found out we were partnering with Warby Parker, we screamed over email.
We did.
Because we were so excited. We love them so much. They're vintage inspired, but they have a contemporary twist.
Glasses start at $95, including prescription lenses. Lenses include anti-glare, anti-scratch coatings, and now Warby Parker is also doing blue light filtering lenses as well.
So if you need help, you can take the quiz. It's really easy. You answer a few quick questions and they'll suggest some great looking glasses that are totally personalized to fit your face and your style. And then it doesn't stop there. There's a free home try-on program. So you order 5 pairs of glasses, you try them on for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. They ship to you free. It includes a prepaid return shipping label. So all you have to do is go to warbyparker.com/taste to order your free home try-on.
And if you have an iPhone X, make sure to download the Warby Parker app because they have virtual try-on and it allows you to try on eyeglasses and see realistic colors and textures and sizes on your face just using your phone.
So again, head to warbyparker.com/taste to order your free home try-on. You are going to love these glasses just like we do.
I'm obsessed.
Does Neil know? Because it's like Warby Parker's the third in your marriage.
I love Warby Parker more than I love him. The holiday season is upon us. That means you might be traveling.
Mm-hmm.
That means you might be making a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I think you should add to that wish list, Bethany?
What, Kathleen?
Away suitcases.
That is the best luggage. I love them. So
mine is pink.
Mine is pink as well.
So Instagrammable.
Mm-hmm.
Bethany and I both had the pink carry-on. It's lightweight, it's a durable shell, and it's made to last a lifetime of travel.
This is the suitcase you've been hearing about where it has the battery built into it.
Yes, but you know what? Now you can take the battery out,
yep.
So you're not breaking any, you know, regulations.
Yep, it pops right out. And I've been saying this for years, Away is like that Mary Poppins carpet bag where she pulls a lamp out of the carpet bag and you don't know how it fit.
You can fit anything in there.
You can fit freaking anything into your Away bag because it has built-in compression pads. So you put all of the stuff in, you push down on it, and somehow it all fits. And I still don't quite know how they do it.
So Away is giving you a 100-day trial to let you try their products on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So take it on a trip with you. If you don't love it, you can return it. They also have a limited lifetime warranty that means they'll fix or replace your bag if it ever gets damaged.
So get started. Go to awaytravel.com/taste and then use the promo code TASTE. That's going to get you $20 off a suitcase. So again, go to awaytravel.com/taste and use the promo code TASTE during checkout.
They also have those spinner wheels for 360 degrees.
It's so fancy.
Gotta love it.
Choreograph a dance with it.
I know. All right, Bethany, I'm going to tell you a eerie, chilling, creepy story. And I'm really confused as to whose side I'm on.
Oh, I will help you decide.
A couple adopted a child.
Okay.
And then they ended up in jail.
Oh.
The two people I'm talking about are Michael and Christine Barnett.
Okay.
In 2010, they adopted a child from a Florida adoption facility in what they're calling an emergency adoption. Now, okay. I don't know why it was an emergency adoption in my research. I can't find, you know, any reasoning why they were calling it that. All I know is that the child was originally from the Ukraine, and she was afflicted with a rare form of dwarfism. She was allegedly 6 years old at the time of the adoption, and the adoption needed to happen quickly. It needed to happen within 24 hours.
Jeez.
I don't know why.
Okay.
So right now, this couple, Christine and Michael Barnett, they are facing two counts of felony neglect of a dependent.
Okay.
Why, you ask? This child that they adopted, whom they thought was an adorable little girl, they later discovered that she was an adult sociopath masquerading as a child.
Like the movie Orphan.
And it is a strange and tortured story. Exactly.
Like the movie Orphan.
It's exactly the plotline of the movie The Orphan.
Yeah, spoiler alert. She was a grown-up.
So this Indiana couple, the Barnetts, they were experienced foster parents who ran a children's daycare from their home in Westfield, Indiana. They also had three children of their own, all boys, so they weren't new to the parenting game.
Okay. Kathleen just looked at me like a wearied old woman, like, oh, the things I've seen.
Like Barbara, what was her name? 2020.
I'm Barbara Walters.
Barbara Walters.
2020. I will always be the Hugh Downs to your Barbara Walters.
Thank you. I feel like Barbara Walters in this. I'm seasoned. I've seen a lot of stories, and this one still surprises me. So on the first night that they get this child home, they named her Natalia.
Okay. Beautiful name.
Natalia Barnett. On the first night that they had her home, they realized that something wasn't right.
Why?
Michael Barnett did an interview with Inside Edition. Hard-hitting news. And he said that on the first day they had her home, his wife was giving her a bath. And she got really freaked out because, you know, you put this child in the bath.
Yeah.
And there were already signs that she was going through puberty.
Wait, how old was she?
She was supposed to be 6 or 7.
Ooh.
He even went as far as to say that she had a monthly cycle and she was hiding it. Christine Barnett, the mother in this story, has publicly said that Natalia, her daughter, at the age of 6 or 7, had full pubic hair, even though she was supposed to be a young child, and that clothing in the child's closet had evidence that she was getting her period. So if you're somebody who doesn't get their period and you're like, how would you know? It's because there's like stains, there's like residue, there's stuff in the crotch area of the clothing, right?
I just Googled. For girls, they say, according to familydoctor.org, puberty usually starts around age 11, but it can start as early as 6 or 7.
But like not a full bush. Not a full bush. That's what the mom said.
Okay, so the probably not. Probably not.
Listen, all of my sources for this story, thecut.com, Daily Mail, YouTube, BBC, drphil.com, insider.com, I'm going to include everything in the show notes. Cool. But as I go on, I'm not going to like source everything as I go through. So Michael Barnett, the father, is also making claims that his child, Natalia, tried to poison his wife with household cleaning products.
Woof.
Poured into her coffee.
Good Lord.
And when she was caught, she had zero emotion. She said, I want you dead. She later then expressed the desire to stab the entire family in their sleep. So, you know, the couple had three other children. They were scared for their lives. Now, listen, this is one side of the story. I'm giving you the parents, adoptive parents' side of the story.
So this is what they are saying.
This is what they are saying.
Okay.
I will go into Natalia's side of the story.
Because so far it seems like she has zero chill.
Exactly. Okay, so these are all the things that apparently that they're accusing this child of. Child in quotes. Pouring bleach into her mother's coffee. Trying to push her mother into an electric fence.
Good Lord!
Hiding knives in the couch. She would stand over family members while they were sleeping, telling others she was waiting for the right time. Christine Barnett ran a daycare, and one day she was watching the baby monitor as Natalia attacked a baby boy infant when she left the room. She was aghast at what had happened. When Christine and Michael Barnett attended therapy with their daughter, Natalia, she scoffed at the childish bonding exercises that the therapist made them do.
Okay, so that to me seems even more adult than like the puberty stuff.
Yes.
Like scoffing.
Scoffing.
It's one thing to be bored or just to think it's dumb, but it's another to sort of have an attitude about it and like, scoff.
The BBC.com reports that Natalia had adult teeth and that she never grew a single inch when she was in the care of the Barnetts, which would happen even with a child who has dwarfism.
Okay, so wait. How old are you when you start getting your adult teeth?
I don't know.
How old when you get adult teeth?
ABC News is reporting that her father, Michael, claims that she would place clear thumbtacks on the stairs, hoping that her family would step on them and injure themselves. Another fishy thing they noticed about their 7-year-old daughter, her vocabulary was too advanced.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. In an exclusive interview with the Daily Mail TV, Christine said that her daughter, Natalia, would make statements and draw pictures saying that she wanted to kill her family members. She would then roll up these plans and then bury them in the backyard.
Good Lord.
Yep.
By the way, for baby teeth and stuff, 6 to 7 when you're like your central incisors fall out, your first molars don't come in until you're like 10 or 12.
Yeah. They're saying she had adult teeth. Ultimately, after all of these things are happening, they took a second look at this kid and they were like, you're an adult.
She be growing up.
You're an adult.
She a lady.
Posing as a child. And in 2010, when they adopted her, her birth certificate said she was 7. They later determined that she was over the age of 18.
Ugh.
When she came to live in their home.
That's so creepy.
That's according to thedailymail.com.
Okay.
During the time that she was in their care, she was in and out of mental hospitals because she was doing stuff like smearing bodily fluids on the walls.
Gross.
Death threats. She was hearing voices. And it was in the mental hospital that a physician determined that her birth certificate was inaccurate. And the Barnetts took their daughter to court. And under, you know, when you change a birth certificate, you have to go into court and a judge has to like say, yes, this is correct. You can change it. A judge revised her birth date from September 4th, 2003 to September 4th, 1989.
That's so weird!
Making her approximately 22 in the year 2011.
Holy cow!
So her parents are like, yeah, you're an adult.
You're grown up.
And maybe because you have a form of dwarfism, you've been able to pass yourself off as a child.
Right.
The most damning piece of evidence against Natalia is a letter from her primary care physician, Andrew McLaren, MD. It was dated March 2012. And in it, he says that Natalia's 2003 birthday was clearly inaccurate and that Natalia had made a career out of pretending to be a young child. He said that Natalia fooled him, her parents, and other physicians.
Creepy. Did she ever try to come on to the dad like in the movie Orphan?
No.
Which is such a gross scene because it's a little girl acting.
Yeah, so if you think you're having a little bit of deja vu at this point,
yeah,
it's because you've seen the movie The Orphan.
Yeah.
The Orphan came out in 2009. It's a psychological horror movie where a husband and a wife who recently lost a baby, they adopt a 9-year-old girl who is deaf and mute and is not clearly as innocent as she claims to be. The movie ends in this sort of epic way where the mother character is screaming at her child, I'm not your effing mommy, and then kicks the demon kid into a lake, breaking her neck, and then she sinks into icy water.
The movie is so gross because, yeah, so near the end, we really learn that there's a big problem because she puts on sexy lingerie and then puts on like red lipstick and tries to have sex with dad.
Oh, God.
And in the movie, she's supposedly of age, but it's an actress who was young who had to do that.
Oh, no.
So I have a big problem with that movie. Regardless, you're asking a child to come on to an adult man in a nightie and lipstick and be very sexual. And I was like, I don't like
this. That's uncomfortable.
I don't like this.
So interestingly enough, there's sort of like there's a couple of plot twists. This is the first one. While Natalia was still under the care of the Barnetts in 2012, there was a police investigation about Natalia, but it wasn't an investigation of child neglect like the parents are being held to now. Police were trying to establish whether an immigration fraud took place.
Okay.
Before the Barnetts had any involvement with Natalia because she was with another family. She was adopted by another family who gave her back.
Wait, so before the Barnetts?
Before the Barnetts, she was adopted by another American family who gave her back.
Oh, gosh.
They returned her because they said that she was violent.
Okay.
And so Natalia addresses those claims when on the Dr. Phil show, which I have found out she was on the Dr. Phil show earlier this month. This story broke in September, so there's been a lot of time for mom and dad to like get their side of the story out.
Yeah.
Finally, Natalia is speaking up. She was on the Dr. Phil show. She shared her whole side of it, and I will get to that eventually. But what I'm most sad about this whole thing is that you can't watch full episodes of Dr. Phil online or on demand anywhere.
Why not?
It's bullshit.
What network is it on?
It's on, I think, Oprah's Own owns it, but it's syndicated to a lot of other channels. So I guess like Oprah keeps a tight lockdown.
Yeah.
On Dr. Phil, whose last name is McGraw.
Yeah.
Phil McGraw. Anyway, police were involved in 2012 with this kid before any of this other child neglect stuff came up. It even went as far as the police officer in charge of the investigation to alert the parents that the FBI and ICE might get involved. But that detective has since passed away, so they can't use anything that he told them in their case.
So he told the Barnetts, by the way, this child that you're adopting, there might be some stuff going on. Oh my gosh.
But that never came to fruition, and then he later passed away. So at this point, Michael and Christine, they've had enough. They pack up their things and they move to Canada.
They leave her.
They leave their daughter with dwarfism behind. And if you're thinking, oh, Canada, that's so random, it makes them seem really guilty, it's not. They had three sons. One of those sons was a mathematical genius with a mild form of autism, and there was a special school for theoretical physics in Ontario.
Okay.
So it wasn't like, you know, running to Canada to, like, not be caught by the law.
But didn't they rent her an apartment?
Yes. So they left her in 2013. They set her up with an apartment in Indiana. They paid a year's worth of rent. They got her signed up with Social Security benefits. They applied her for food stamps. They filled her cabinets, got her an ID. Because now at this point, she has her new birth certificate that the judge has changed.
Okay.
That says she's an adult. They get her an apartment. They co-sign a lease with her. This girl signed a lease, and then they peace out.
Oh, gosh.
They moved to Canada.
I'm so conflicted.
Natalia was placed under the supervision of state health care provider Aspire Indiana.
Because what if she actually is six?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, at this point, she would have been in her early teens.
Okay.
Like 11, 12, something like that.
So she lived with them for
A couple of years before they were like, peace out, we're going to Canada. Like, they spent a lot of time with this girl. So they set her up in an apartment. And I'll tell you why this is problematic. Because she has dwarfism. She can't reach things. Walking is sometimes difficult.
Didn't give her things to help?
Apparently not. Like, you need homes suited when you have a condition like that. You know?
Everything's built for the average-sized human.
Yes, exactly. TheInsider.com, because I'm like, okay. I'm like putting this together in my head. And all the details are not out, obviously, because there's still an active investigation going and it hasn't gone through the court system yet.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of details about how exactly she survived. Now, Natalia, now today in 2019, is under the care of new parents. She says she is 16 today in 2019.
Okay. So she is still saying, I was a minor.
Yeah.
I am still a minor.
Yeah. So when her parents left her in an apartment in Indiana by herself, they're saying that they would try and contact her, but she cut them off. And the last time her mother spoke to her, she said, I'm making spaghetti for my new family. And then they received in the mail a letter saying that she had removed her father, Michael Barnett, from being the beneficiary of her Social Security, something like that. Something like that.
Okay, amazing. Wow.
And you're like, okay, how did this child take care of herself? Apparently her parents signed her up for adult community classes before they left, and she was going to that for a little bit. TheInsider.com is saying that the Ukrainian orphan hung out at a drug recovery house after her parents just left her for Canada.
Okay.
It's dicey exactly how she got back into the care of more adult humans.
Yeah.
I think probably eviction had something to do with it, and then police stepped in and she was probably homeless. But this is all speculation. I don't know if maybe she went to the police after she ran out of food and money and was like, my parents left me.
It's also interesting because so her birth certificate says that she is an adult.
At this point, yes.
At this point, but yet she was still able to be readopted as a child.
Yeah. Okay, so let me continue.
Okay.
So before Natalia was adopted, the Barnetts were not new to the spotlight.
Okay.
One of their sons is a math prodigy, like I mentioned before, and they made headlines because the mom wrote a book about his extreme mathematical skills while also dealing with a form of autism. The book is called The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius. Christine Barnett is the author. And so she was all over the news.
Okay.
And even 60 Minutes came to the house and did a whole story on the brother. His name is Jake, where Natalia is filmed. She's in the background. She's in the background of all of this stuff going on. She was portrayed as a shy, curly haired little girl, just totally normal. Now, I want to read you something that the Daily Mail published after an exclusive interview with Christine Barnett. It's about the first few days that Natalia spent with the family.
Okay.
So in Florida. They went to Florida to adopt her, and apparently they stayed in Florida, hung out. They went to Disney World or stuff like that.
Yeah.
This is what the Daily Mail is reporting that Christine Barnett is saying, the mom. Natalia was extremely nervous. you could see that she was going to need a lot of support and care. We did notice immediately that in the parking lot, she couldn't walk. And there was nothing in the paperwork stating that she had walking problems. Over the next few days, the couple showered Natalia with attention, taking her to Disney World, enjoying ice creams, treats, playful pillow fights with her three brothers to slowly bring her out of her shell.
Okay.
When they took Natalia to the beach for the first time, she did something that would leave the couple speechless. The boys rushed into the water, and Natalia wanted to be carried to the ocean. Michael and myself were physically exhausted, so we asked her to just wait a few minutes.
Yeah.
This is first-person perspective from the mom. With that, she just got up and ran into the ocean. And I remember just looking at Mike and thinking, what's going on? She couldn't walk a second ago, and now she just up and ran.
Oh.
I want to get into some of these charges about the parents.
Okay.
So, Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Department, they're saying that in June 2010, a bone density test was performed by an expert at a hospital, saying that Natalia was indeed 8 years old. Not like what her parents say.
What the freaking hell?
Her parents had a lot of tests done on her, medical tests. She was examined by a lot of doctors who all said, according to her parents, she's an adult.
Okay, but also, do we have access to those tests?
I don't know.
Because do we believe the parents? Are they a reliable narrator?
The parents are not allowed to talk about the case anymore because they've been out so much in the public eye talking about it, they have received a gag order. So until this comes to fruition in January of 2020, I think it's like January 28th, they can't talk about it anymore.
Because one part of me, which is maybe unfair, is thinking, okay, well, if mom has already written a book about one of her children, she's not afraid of the spotlight.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So was she thinking she was doing another put a white cap on my head, I'm a savior sort of thing?
Maybe.
Where I'm going to take in this child who's very troubled.
And then write a book about it.
And look what an amazing mother I am. Mm-hmm. Now, that's probably unfair, mm-hmm. but it is crossing my mind.
Mm-hmm. Police are also saying that they have skeletal tests that prove that she's a child. And in 2014, Natalia herself told police, so this is a year after her parents left her alone, that she was left alone by her adoptive parents while they moved to Canada. And cops are concluding that everybody who's on Natalia's side, they're credible witnesses. So,
oh, my gosh.
So today she's saying she's 16. She's under the care of another couple who have other children. They also live in Indiana. But if you follow the timeline, according to her birth certificate, after it was edited, she's in her early 30s, approximately 33.
Okay. So I'm looking at this clip from Dr. Phil on YouTube. She fully looks 16. She also fully looks 30.
Girls sometimes have the ability to look younger when they want to and older when they want to. So on Friday, September 22nd, the Barnetts, Mike and Christine, they pleaded not guilty to 2 counts of felony neglect of an independent in an Indiana courthouse, according to thecut.com. And although the mother at the time declined to speak to reporters, a lawyer representing her said that she is looking forward to telling her story in the court. Both parents have been issued with a gag order, so they can no longer speak to the media about this case. Now, the father has a lawyer, too. The lawyer spoke to Inside Edition. Terrence Kinnard, an attorney out of Indiana, he said that they've done massive amounts of research on Natalia's historical records, health records, mental health records, and it is apparent that, A, she was a person of adult age while she was in the care of the Barnetts, and, B, she is playing it up. She's lying, lying, lying.
What the hell? Okay, so Let's say that, again, we don't know what information everyone has.
Yeah.
But let's say you adopt a child. Mm-hmm. You decide that you wish you hadn't adopted a child.
Yeah.
Really, the only way that you can justify reversing that adoption is to claim that your child is trying to kill you.
Yes.
There's like really nothing else
there's
you
nothing
could do.
Else.
Because
no.
Guess what? Like an adoption is a long process. You get vetted. It is a very sacred and long process. And so to say never mind, you would have to come up with a pretty fantastic story to justify that. What is the likelihood that the Barnetts, maybe she was a tough kid and they were like, you know what? The only way we're going to get out of this is to claim that she was trying to kill us and she's actually a grown up.
And maybe, let's say we're on her side. We're on Natalia's side. I don't know a lot about dwarfism, but like maybe her body looks different than what an average human being's body would look like.
Right.
And so they're using that against her.
Right. Absolutely.
I want to tell you, I've watched the Dr. Phil clip for the first time a few days ago.
Okay.
And immediately I was like, this is a grown woman. She's lying out of her teeth. She's manipulative. And I don't believe a word that she's saying. But
was it just the way that she carried herself?
Just the way she carried herself. Details that she should have probably remembered from her childhood. Because you start remembering things like at the age of 4, 5. Like,
yeah, ish.
Like you remember where you move and who were your caretakers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I remember all of that stuff from when I was like 6, 7, 8, whatever. She like, it's like, oh, the details are kind of fuzzy. But I then watched a follow-up interview that Dr. Phil did with Good Morning America.
Okay.
And it really goes to show how the producers of the Dr. Phil show make it look one way, even though Dr. Phil thinks another way.
Oh, okay.
Because it really looked like in the clip that I was seeing that, because I didn't see the full episode, can't watch it online, can't find it. It really seems that Dr. Phil is skeptical of her. But then he went on Good Morning America and said that he doesn't think that the Ukrainian orphan is in her 30s.
Really?
And he says that it's also pretty likely that she has no idea actually how old she is.
Okay.
Because they didn't keep great records. She was in a child home in the Ukraine. And new plot twist, her birth mother has come out and her birth mother is saying, yeah, she's 16 years old.
Oh.
Now, that might not be factually true, and I'll go into that. But on Dr. Phil, on Good Morning America, he pointed out that whether or not she's an adult or a child, the Barnetts just left her to fend for herself. And that really wasn't fair because she has dwarfism. So she didn't have the ability to function normally in a house that was built for an average-sized human.
Can I listen to her voice really quickly on this clip?
Yes, yeah.
What did they say to you when they took you over there and dropped you off?
They just said, we're going to get you an apartment and we're going to Canada.
Did you say, I'm 8?
I didn't know what to say. I didn't really know what was going on at first until, like, after it happened. Like, I was confused.
Were you scared?
I was.
Okay, it's so strange because she's carrying herself like a teenager.
They also put her in an orange shirt, makes her look like a prisoner.
Right. That's not a fair sartorial choice. But she's definitely carrying herself with this air of like, you know how a lot of teenagers, they have just a little bit of an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, this is dumb. Mm-hmm. But
she said she lived on canned food. The story is really murky.
I also just get a weird. Okay, keep going.
She goes on to tell Dr. Phil she moved to the United States when she was 6, and she bounced around between a lot of families before landing at the Barnetts. The timeline is bonkers to me. It doesn't make any sense. And I've read like so many articles about this.
Yeah, you didn't shower today because you
didn't.
Were knee deep in research.
I didn't. One family that she was with before the Barnetts returned her to U.S. Social Services when she injured another child in their family. Now, she's telling Dr. Phil that one of the boys and me, we were wrestling and I landed on his arm wrong and the mom thought that I was trying to break his arm. So the mom returned her to U.S. Social Services. Natalia is denying all claims that she ever tried to harm or kill the Barnetts or any of their children, and she only would have entered their bedroom at night if she had a nightmare. Natalia is also saying that while she lived alone for a year as an 8-year-old child, they're saying, I mean, like,
that's so crazy.
As an 8-year-old child, she lived on canned food that, you know,
yeah,
whatever she could find. And she appeared on the Dr. Phil show with her new parents, Antoine and Cynthia Manns. She lives with that couple and their family. They say that she has posed no harm to their family. Well, obviously, because like if you're a sociopath or a psychopath or whatever, you know that things are working against you because people have like spotted you.
Right.
And so you need to like play nice, right?
You need to pull it together for a second.
And the whole thing with pouring chemicals into her mom's coffee, apparently the whole incident was staged by her mother, who was like, you poured this into my coffee. She's like, no, I didn't. And her mom is like, yes, you did it just like this. And her mother showed her how she did it, then made her reenact her how she did it. And then the mom mysteriously snapped a picture of it happening. I haven't seen that picture. I haven't seen the mom say that she has a picture in any of the interviews.
Yeah.
This is what Natalia is telling Dr. Phil.
This is so crazy. This is so crazy. Like, because, okay, if multiple families are claiming that she was dangerous.
Yeah.
That's multiple families. That's a lot of evidence. But then can you also imagine that if she's not dangerous, how frustrating to have all of these different adults just decide you're too difficult. And so they all decide to like give you back. That's like both sides are so awful.
So theinsider.com has found a woman that's saying that she is Natalia's birth mother.
She's either 18 or 62.
And she had to give up this child because she had gotten divorced from Natalia's father, her husband, and she couldn't care for the child because of, you know, the child's special needs.
Yeah.
And so she gave the child in 2003 to an adoptive home.
Okay.
Now, you can look this up online. it is purely, from my perspective, it is purely theoretical.
Okay.
But I did read somewhere that Ukraine notoriously keeps terrible adoptive records and that they also are sometimes not truthful.
Oh, so there's...
And so the mom may be over in Ukraine. I mean, we don't know if this is... There haven't been any DNA tests done, but there's this woman over there who may be her adoptive mother, but she may also be covering for her daughter because she might have said, listen, you're going to the United States where they're going to take care of you. You're going to pretend to be... a child. She may have been old enough when she came to the United States to understand that concept.
Good Lord.
Michael and Christine Barnett say that despite spending 6 years in the Ukraine, she never had an accent.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, that's...
I mean, I'm just saying. Possible. That's just one of the pieces of fodder for their case. I don't know who I believe. I don't know. I think, gentle listener, if this is something that interests you, my mind is absolutely boggled that this is happening. You should watch the videos of this girl. From the videos alone, I don't trust her. But Dr. Phil is saying that he truly doesn't think that she's 30.
Okay.
And I trust Dr. Phil.
So.
With my life.
So there's a picture of this girl, Natalia, and it's clearly from a few years ago. So she looks younger. Her hair is very short. She's wearing like a little ribbon.
Yeah.
If you told me that this girl was actually like 20, it sends chills up and down my spine.
Yeah,
because
you can dress younger than you are and look younger.
And the smile she's giving you looks insidious if she's 20.
Yeah.
If she's 6.
Natalia Barnett, do a Googs, gentle listener. It's going to give you chills, the whole thing. All the videos, all the pictures, it's insanity.
Yeah, if she's 6, she looks like a happy kid. If she's 20, she looks creepy and scary.
So... here's my thing. I'm not on anyone's side. I truly cannot wait for the trial. I will be like one of those people who watches trials on TV. But if they, okay, let's say that she is only 16 today in the year 2019.
Which is, I mean, looking at her, I could believe it.
So when her parents abandoned her, let's say that she was between the ages of 8 and 11.
Sure.
Somewhere in there. I don't know if I would have been able to take care of myself.
No. And the psychological damage that causes, if we're going to right now for this moment side with her completely, she has been dropped by multiple families that she was told were her home.
Yeah.
She has been taken in and then dropped by her final family. Mm-hmm. She has then been moved into an apartment by herself when she's potentially never lived alone before.
Yep.
And her stability now is left the country. So she has zero support system. Even if you're 20 at that point, that's still incredibly jarring and really, really...
Traumatic. Yes. It is, the whole story is just absolutely wild to me. It is just wild.
And she might be putting knives in people's sofas. You don't know.
And she might be pouring bleach into your coffee. The parents have since divorced. This is probably an important detail that I should... The parents... I skipped this in my research. I put it in my papers, but I didn't say it out loud to you, Bethany. In 2014, the parents got divorced. So this couple is not even married anymore.
Okay.
And the dad moved from Canada back to Indiana. So he was like around, but it's unclear as to if he was present in her life. And also, okay, so this did happen in 2012. Why are these charges being brought against these parents now? Only now?
Yeah.
It's been 6 years. So let's say, okay, so she lived on her own. In 2014, she spoke to police when she was apparently still a minor, living on her own. So 2014, 2019, that's 5 years. Why is this only coming to fruition now? I mean, the story only broke in September. And obviously, stories break long after police are working on them.
Yeah,
and they
right.
need to gather evidence and whatever. But I don't know, man. I almost think that she's an adult.
So, you know, people's comments on YouTube are always helpful and supportive. Under the Dr. Phil clip, the general consensus is she's a grown-up.
Yeah.
Kids with dwarfism still look like kids. There's no way she's a child. She looks older. Let's see. She doesn't look a child. She's claiming she was 9. She's definitely not. You can tell by someone's face how old they are. And her face shows that she's within her mid-20s to early 30s by the structure of it.
Well, I'm not an expert in dwarfism, so, and I don't know if that commenter is.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to say. And then this person says, that's not always true. My little cousin has dwarfism. He looks like a little grown man and he's 13. So I don't know.
I bet this case is very interesting for those in the dwarfism community.
I mean, I can't imagine that this is something that the dwarfism community is loving.
No, I mean, because if she's lying, she's exploiting
right.
her condition.
And if she's not lying, then we're giant assholes for not believing.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
So now after Mom and Dad have spoken to Inside Edition, and I think Dad was on Dr. Oz, and like the Daily Mail and Insider.com and the BBC and all this stuff, the parents now have a gag order. They can't talk about
kidding.
It.
No kidding.
Well, obviously, I mean, the parents that probably have lawyers that were like, go out to the media and talk about this because yeah. you want to convince, you want to just get into the back of the mind of whomever's going to be on the jury.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're in New Jersey. In Indiana, I suspect that this is even a bigger story.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you want to get out in front of the story. You want to make yourselves seem.
Yeah.
Because if the first thing you get is you hear from the child mm-hmm. that they were abandoned by their parents, and then you hear from the parents, you're like, you're insane, parents. Why would you, you know, why would you just completely leave this poor child? Oh, she had a knife. Bull. Like, I don't believe that. But if you hear it from the parents first, it seems a little bit more likely.
Yeah.
Because then you look at the child with suspicion.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes, you look at the child with suspicion.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know who I believe. Dr. Phil is, it's looking like he's siding with Natalia. So I don't know.
I think that's the safe position for him to publicly make.
You're right.
You know?
No, you're right.
I think that if it ends up that she is 16 or 18 now
and he
was like, you know, throw her to the wolves. She's
yeah.
a grown up.
No, you're right.
Like a big old jerk.
No, you're right. He's probably trying to be very politically correct about it,
and
diplomatic.
I don't know how often he does interviews about his interviews. So it's also possible that after it aired, he was like, you guys, this looks awful for me. I need to go clarify my stance.
Ah, yes, because he was on Good Morning America the day before the interview was going to air.
So it's possible he knew how it had come out, or he was concerned about it and wanted to.
That makes sense. I saw the clip from Dr. Phil before I saw him on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
And when I saw the clip from his actual show, I was like, yeah, Dr. Phil definitely thinks that this woman is a grown-ass person.
So interesting. So, all right, well, we'll all stay updated on it.
Something for all of us to follow.
So fascinating.
With popcorn and a glass of wine.
Kathleen.
Yes.
Heading into the holiday season, and the thing that sucks is that people identify the holiday season with either I don't want to eat too much, or the new year means I'm going to try to lose weight. And I feel like we need to take all of that pressure and anxiety away.
And exercise why you should be exercising.
Yeah, exactly.
For your health, to feel better in your mind. And you know what, Bethany? You and I don't like going to the gym and working out in front of people. And that's why we use OpenFit to work out at home.
Yep. And if you're traveling, work out while you're traveling. So OpenFit takes all the complexity out of getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day.
I always feel stupid when I'm in a class or like I'm doing something, I'm like, I'm not doing it right. Everybody's looking at me. When I use OpenFit at home, and I usually use it on my Fire Stick
mm-hmm.
or like it's on my iPad, on my computer, I can pull up on basically any smart device at home. I work out, I feel good, and I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah, you know that there aren't people looking at you and judging you, and you don't have to worry about, like, am I wearing the right color black
yeah.
to this yoga class?
I love taking yoga at home. I love doing the rough around the edges, which is, like, six badass stunt women that teach you how to work out, and I'm
mm-hmm.
like, hell yeah, I'm going to be like you. Sandra Bullock, I'm your next extra.
You can also do it on vacation. If you have your tablet, your smartphone, whatever, you can do it from your mother-in-law's house, from the hotel.
You take the gym with you, and that is, like, the best part about OpenFit.
So OpenFit has changed the way that Kathleen and I both work out, and it can help you too. Text our code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to the number 303030, and you can join us on a fitness journey personalized just for you.
Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners are getting a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit when you text TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, to 303030.
You're going to get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts and the nutrition information totally free. So again, pull out your phone. Just text TASTE to 303030. Standard message and data rates may apply.
Bethany, did you hear about this story? It was trending on Twitter over the weekend. Hashtag glasses are forbidden.
Yes.
In Japan, some employers are telling their employees, specifically female employees, you're not allowed to wear glasses to work.
Because they look too masculine and mean, right?
Yes, you're supposed to look feminine and soft.
And like too smart.
It is...
It's 2019.
I want to punch.
I know. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. The only thing that makes me feel better about it is that there are so many people that are outraged, including like men that I know who are outraged. I'm like, okay, cool. Not everyone feels this way.
You know, I don't know much about Japanese culture. I've never been to Japan, but I thought that they were more advanced than this.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like any corporate culture. I think some businesses do better than others.
Just some oppressive bullshit.
It's awful.
As somebody who wears glasses every day, like,
yeah, you do look too masculine and too intelligent, and it makes me feel intimidated.
Yeah, you're uncomfortable.
And I don't like to feel intimidated. I like to feel superior. So it's tough for me. Can I plug something really quickly as we head out? So I do a web series called Labeled.
Yes.
I co-produced it. I also star in it. Season 2 came out last week.
So we can watch you acting?
You can watch me acting.
You know, I watched Labeled season 1 so long ago that I need to like go back and catch up, and then
you really don't.
And then watch season 2.
There's not a ton of through line that you have to worry about. So you can watch it. It's on Atlantic Records YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
So if you go to youtube.com/Atlantic Records,
you
can find us there.
Will you put out a link on our Twitter?
Yes, I will put out a link.
Thank you.
And do you need to plug anything?
No, I don't need to plug anything. I do need to plug. It's more of a note to myself.
Okay.
Wash some towels.
Why?
Because yesterday, I didn't shower today, but yesterday I had to dry my whole body off with a hand towel because I have no clean full-size towels.
Mm.
And I thought, look at me. I'm so minimalist. I don't even need a full-size towel.
Can we talk about minimalism for a second?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. So you guys all know that Dennis is a minimalist. I call myself a Baroque maximalist.
Yeah.
I like filigree.
You like things.
Big gilded things. I like lots of plants. I like big mirrors. I like skulls of all breeds.
you like velvet.
Velvet,
soft,
sateen,
soft lighting,
rich colors.
Yes.
I like dark wood and books and whatever.
I feel at home when I'm at your apartment. It's like
Thank
my
you.
Second home.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And now that I have this giant 430-pound card catalog, like it feels complete. So Dennis is the exact opposite of me. And for a very long period of time, things were trending towards minimalism.
Yes.
Very mid-century modern minimalism. Clean lines, blank walls, tiny, tiny, tiny. Well, the trend is going back my way, friends.
I know. So before we were podcasting, I was mentioning to Bethany, so you know, Bethany, apartmenttherapy.com, one of my favorite websites, apartmenttherapy.com is saying, move over, minimalism. The new, in quotations, the new Victorian look is on the rise.
I love it.
And so essentially what Victorian is like soft, bold colors like mauves and purples and soft pinks and velvets, but like dark walls and a lot of candelabras.
Yes.
And like a lot of, what's that like pattern, that Victoria pattern?
Toile.
Like a chic toile. And apparently like that is what's in now.
Look, I have been collecting ceramic busts and furniture and big mirrors and what was the other thing I've been actually collecting?
And you've done gallery.
Candelabras.
Candelabras and gallery walls.
Since I was like in high school.
Fancy candlesticks and all sorts of things.
I have 3 candelabras from high school that fit into wine bottles.
Yes. Dark patterned linens. Mm-hmm. I've seen that in your house.
Yep. I'm all about it. There's a room on Style by Emily Henderson.
Oh, I have her book. It's great.
The wall is teal. Not teal, more of a mint green. One sofa is like teal blue velvet. Mm-hmm. There's 2 chairs that are purple velvet. The carpet is purple velvet. There's what looks like a faux fireplace. It's all very colorful, but very like, but
muted.
Dark, yeah.
Muted at a colorful mute.
Yeah, I like a colorful mute. So I'm into this, and I feel like it's something I can rub Dennis's nose in.
Oprah came out with her favorite things for 2019.
How many can we afford?
0.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
What
moving
are they?
On. No, moving on. We can't afford any of them.
Wait, I want to hear some of them.
No. Okay, let me go through the list of things we can't afford. A nail polish set for $99.
Okay.
Bath salts for $88. Pajamas that actually we could probably afford these matching family pajamas. $12 to $50 each. Yeah. Glass candles for $55. You know where I buy my candles? At the supermarket. You know what brand they are? Glade.
Yeah. Here's my question. Does she not have anyone on her team telling her how to be relatable? Or does she just not care, which is fine. And actually, I sort of respect someone who's just like, you know what? I'm not relatable. I'm just going to do me.
Yeah, that's kind of like what Gwyneth Paltrow does. Black pants for $110. A special collection of spices for $95. Oh, cool. So, yeah, I'm going to go with spices for $95.
They're going to be dead in 6 months.
Get out of here. Turmeric tea set for $40. Get the F. Get the fruit pies for $35. That's not bad.
But here's some crumb cakes for $68.
Smoked salmon for $65. Truffle hot sauce. Hot sauce for $35.
No, that's insane.
It does have truffle in it, and truffle is expensive.
Yeah, but still.
Body lotion for $100. You get a full tray of it. I mean, it's just bullshit, whatever.
There's like these really ugly bracelets. These are really awful bracelets for $200.
Oh, speaking of bracelets, did you see this thing that came out on Bustle? There's a long distance bracelet that vibrates. Oh, so a long distance bracelet, long distance friendship or relationship or whatever, you both wear it.
Okay.
And then when you're thinking of the other person, you tap it. And if they have on their bracelet too, they feel a vibration.
That's very sweet.
And they know that you're thinking of them.
Okay. Here's my question, because I'm a pessimist.
You're going to put it on your penis?
No.
Mm-hmm. Just tap it all the time?
No. What happens if you're wearing yours and they're wearing theirs and
they don't tap?
Never
it.
Vibrates. Like, is that how you know that you're breaking up?
Oh, shit.
It's like, Tad, you haven't tapped your bracelet in like 2 weeks.
It's such a millennial bracelet.
And I
thing.
Keep tapping my bracelet, but you don't tap yours.
Oh, and
that'd
then what
be
if
awful.
What if you call like your dad's housekeeper and she's like, oh, honey, Dad died.
Oh, God.
Didn't anybody tell you?
I told you. Or like he just leaves it off all the time. He's like, babe, sorry, babe. I just keep forgetting to wear it. You know, I'm not a bracelet guy.
I'm not a bracelet guy.
I love you, Tad.
I think the idea is kind of sweet.
I think it is sweet, too.
But then like how many bracelets could you possibly wear? Because I already have my Fitbit. You might have your Apple Watch.
Is it called Bond Touch or is it Alpha Accessories?
It is called the Long Distance Touch Bracelet Set and it is from Uncommon Goods.
Oh, I love Uncommon Goods.
Uncommongoods.com. Set of two will cost you $98. But then you can buy the single and they have changeable bands and stuff like that. Very much like a Fitbit or an Apple Watch.
Okay, but why would you buy the single if the whole point is to have someone tap it?
Well, because maybe you're going to buy the single for you and then you're going to buy the single for somebody else.
No,
I don't know.
That's like buying best friend's necklace, but you only get the butt for
the best.
There's no one who gets the est ends. Did you ever have a three-way best friend's necklace?
I might have.
Because someone had to get the middle chunk,
yeah.
Which sucked. So it was like a heart, but split three ways. So it was like you got either one rounded end, the other rounded end, or the person in the middle just got zigzag.
Yes. No, you're right. You're so right. I used to go and buy all that stuff at Joyce Leslie. Do you remember that store?
No.
They didn't have that in the Midwest.
I don't think they had that in
it
the
was
Midwest.
Just like absolute cheap. Ass, terrible clothing. I don't know why my mother took there. If I was my own mother, I would tell myself to shape up or ship out. So anyway.
All right. Uncommon Goods. It looks like a big old Fitbit.
It does.
It's a big bracelet.
Yeah, but the only thing that it does is tell someone else that you're thinking about
that. Does
them.
It like count, you know, my steps?
There's this amazing thing called a text message. And you send it to them. And sometimes that vibrates too. And it doesn't cost $98.
But it's tough because you have to like say things. You have to think about it.
I'm being such a Grinch right now.
This is just a big old chunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big old chunk. So if you have, it at least better count my steps. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
I wonder if Japanese women are allowed to wear these bracelets.
Probably not. Makes them look too smart and terrifying.
All right.
And what's the word I'm looking for? Intimidating.
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you are dehydrated, it can make your eye twitch.
I just taught you that today.
I know. I learned it this week.
In this room, Bethany.
Who knew? I thought I was dying. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
Okay. I learned from my friend Desiree. We're Instagram friends. We went to high school together. She's working on a cookbook, so she always puts out great cooking tips on her Instagram story. And one of her tips was, if you want to grill and you don't have a grill or it's the middle of the winter, you don't want to go outside. So you know when you're roasting vegetables, you turn the oven on.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't turn your oven on, Bethany.
No.
But, you know.
One might turn an oven on.
One might turn their oven on. And, you know, you put your tray into the rack in the oven. And you wait for your vegetables to cook.
Right.
If you want more of like a grill sear on those veggies or that meat or whatever you're cooking, put the tray not on a rack, put it right into the bottom of the oven, right on the oven floor.
Okay.
Because it's much, much hotter down there and you're going to get sort of like a grill effect. So sure enough, I did a tray of asparagus, I did some balsamic, I did some olive oil, salt and pepper, whatever. put it in the bottom of my oven.
Yeah.
Just like it was cooking on the grill. Like, it was done in a minute or 2 minutes, whatever. Came out. It even had that, like, charred taste.
Why have I never heard of that before?
Desiree sent me a picture of these zucchinis that she did, like zucchini medallions that she did in the bottom of her oven on the oven floor. Oh, my God.
Amazing.
Amazing. But, gentle listener, put it on a tray. Because when I was first describing this to my husband, he was like, so you put the food right into the oven on the
makes it smoky.
On the bottom. He's like, but then you have to spend all the time cleaning it up. I was like, no, you dummy. Put it on a damn tray. I'm not a psychopath.
Can we also say that you're very frustrated right now because they're replacing the medallion in your apartment ceiling?
More construction in my apartment. I got to move my
bed
to, like,
a new chandelier medallion.
You know why? Because my landlord, most certainly, out of all the apartments in the building, I live in a brownstone. It's pre-war, so I have great character.
Yeah.
Out of all the units in the building, my unit is the nicest because I've taken good care of it.
Yeah,
I've done a lot
course.
Of fixing up of it, whatever. She definitely, my landlord definitely wants to move into my unit.
Well, nope.
And so she's doing all this to construction while I'm living in it. Joke's on her. I'm never leaving. Bethany, where can people follow you?
I don't know. Home? But don't follow me home. Fool me once. Shame on you.
I know where you live.
You can find me on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson. That's Ms. Bethany Watson. You can find me on Twitter, at Radio Bethany. Kathleen, what about you?
I'm a web girl Kathleen on everything.
You can find the podcast on Twitter, at Acquired Taste Podcast, at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Taste Podcast.
Facebook.com, just look for Acquired Taste Podcast.
Yeah, and while you're there, check out our fan group. Mm-hmm. We have some amazing people that run that, Mac, Michelle, Omar, Seamus. We love you. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can send us snail mail, Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And if you would like to leave us a voicemail, you can do so at 917-994-0353.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds. Love you. Here's what you had to say this week.
Noise.
Did you hear my stomach growling?
That was your stomach?
Did the microphone pick that up?
I don't know.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It is taste bud Alexandra from New Jersey. And I just wanted to let you all know I'm having a huge life change today. It is my last day at a job that I've not been happy at for 6 years, and I start a brand new one on Monday. And I just wanted to thank you both for constantly reminding us to follow our dreams and go after what we really want. And I wanted to thank all the taste buds out there who supported me on the Facebook fan page to kick butt at my interview, and I'm so excited.
Hey, Kathleen. Hey, Bethany. So I just wanted to tell you what I learned this week. And I learned that raccoons have an actual bone in their penis, and I also learned that apparently men in the South think it's good luck to take this penis bone and use it as a toothpick. So there's a lot of insight I can give there, but I won't. So just wanted to let you know that. By the way, this is Mac. Have a good day. Bye.
Hi. This is the Taste Bud. I'm afraid to give my real name because I've been drinking. I just came from a wedding, and I was thinking about friendship and how important it is to have people in your life that fill you up instead of draining you. And it brought me back to this podcast. An Acquired Taste teaches me this all the time. I just wanted to say that the Acquired Taste podcast reminds me of this lesson all the time. And this wedding that I just came from when I've been drinking. And it's fine. I'm not ashamed. It's okay. Alcohol's legal. I don't have to be embarrassed. It's cool. It was a moment where I was, like, reminded of this lesson that I totally started to get from this podcast. And I also just want to mention that you are at the same studio as Sue Perkins from Great British Bake Off. And that's how you know you've really made it. I'm so proud of you girls. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Abby, Taste Bud from Sioux City, Iowa. I just wanted to share some random thoughts that I had in the middle of the night last night. I have a 5-month-old that doesn't let me sleep in the middle of the night, so I was up, couldn't fall back asleep, scrolling on my phone, and I thought to myself, how does the witching hour work during daylight saving time? I live in the Midwest, so we spring forward and fall back. Obviously, the paranormal realm doesn't spring forward and fall back. So how does that work exactly?
Oh my God. So just listening to that bonus episode and the whole conversation about stinky feet. Jenny, if you listen to this, girl, me too. But I buy like these like little $5 flats from Walmart because I didn't want to spend more money on that on flats because of the sweat issue. But now after listening to Kathleen and Bethany, I definitely like the idea of more flats. And I definitely have been planning on Rothy's. Thank you, all of you. I'm tired of my nasty feet. Bye.